is how we do it. It's Friday night, and I feel alright. The party's here on the west side. What it is, everybody? Welcome to episode 54 of Fishing Connoisseur, a movie. My name's David Pether, but you can call me Fish. With me, as always, my favorite sack of shit,
Connor McDuff. I have a bit of phlegm in my throat today.
Ah! Yeah, that's some sort of croak. That's some sort of croak up in there.
Yeah, some sort of gritty start. So, sound like the Emperor.
Yes, do it. Use the power of the dark side.
That bald bastard. So, Connor, I've been watching some fucking pretty cool movies over the last week.
Oh, yeah? What have you been watching?
I've gone back finally to watch a movie called Westworld. Have you ever heard of it?
I've never heard of Westworld.
Westworld was directed by the Jurassic Park novelist Michael Crichton. It was like his first sort of push into the movies in the 70s. And it's funny because it's kind of a precursor to Jurassic Park in ways, because it's like a theme park gone wrong sort of thing. So Westworld is, there's this place called, I think it's Delos. It's like a holiday resort where you can go. There's Westworld, there's Medieval World, and there's like a Roman world. And basically, you can go and live in this world, like in the Wild West, in Rome, fucking in these time periods. And all the characters in the world are like automated robots.
Oh, this is the one where they come to life, hey, and they try and kill you.
Yeah, basically, the robots turn on the humans. It's kind of, I was sort of familiar with it because there was a Simpsons episode where they go to Itchy and Scratchy Land, and the same sort of thing happens. Yeah, but it was interesting to go and look at it because being Michael Crichton and all that, and you can definitely see where he started getting some ideas for, you know, a theme park, full of dinosaurs. Yeah.
Yeah.
The movie's like, it's pretty dated. It's actually funny because, you know, later on in this podcast, we're going to be talking about Everest, which was starring Josh Brolin, and his dad is in this movie. fucking James Brolin. So it's weird. They look almost identical as well. It's pretty dated, and the effects are, you know, for the time, they would have been fucking incredible. Like, there's this one, a cowboy that you start seeing his view, the robot's view, and it's this weird, like, pixelated computer type view that they would have thought in like the 70s. So it was really, it was quite fun though. And I would recommend anyone going back and watching that film, because they're actually about to make a HBO TV series about it, I just found out.
Oh, wow.
Which is really cool, because when I was watching it, I was like, man, this is actually one film that I would love to see remade. Like, I think it would be really cool to see it with what we can do as filmmakers now. Sure enough, there's a fucking TV series being made about it, and by HBO nonetheless, so it's going to be fucking sick.
Yeah, HBO generally does everything pretty well. And by that, I mean they made Better Brothers, so you can do whatever you want on HBO. You made me happy once. Have whatever fucking TV show you want.
Yeah, I honestly don't know if I could say a TV series that HBO did that sucked.
I can't think of any.
I can't. I'm sure there's something, but like, you know, they... Was HBO, was that Entourage? Did they do that?
I think so. Pretty sure.
And they did Kenny Powers, what's it called? Eastbound and Down, one of the greatest TV series of all fucking time. Danny McBride.
That's Danny McBride, yeah.
Oh, fuck. Have you watched any of that?
No, I've never seen it. Oh, yeah, man. Entourage is HBO.
It is? Yeah, sweet. Highly recommend Eastbound and Down. Yeah, so that'll be cool. But you watched anything cool in the last week?
I saw, I've been watching Derek by Ricky Gervais. You know the show I'm talking
about? Oh, yeah. I haven't seen anything. That's on Netflix, isn't it?
So Derek is about Ricky Gervais' character, Derek, who is a caretaker at an old people's home. And it's about him and his friends that work there. And it's really, really heartwarming. Derek in the show has autism. And I was kind of worried. I never watched it because of the thought of it. Like, I was just worried where the humor would come from. And I was like, oh, this probably might be pretty crass and a little, just a bit dumb. And I don't know how they're going to take on a character like that. But I have cried 4 times in 6 episodes of this fucking show. I don't cry in anything. I cried in Inside Out. That's all I've cried in. I've cried 4 times in 6 episodes watching this show. It is somehow one of the funniest and most heartwarming pieces of television I've seen. Like, holy fuck. It's just spectacular. The show is so great. My goodness.
Oh. It's funny because, like, I've seen the sort of the cover for that, and I was like, oh, yeah, Ricky Gervais. I'll probably check that at some point. But it doesn't really... It didn't have anything that sort of pulled
me in.
So, but like, well, it's good to know.
Just watch episode one. If by the end of episode one you're not like in tears, maybe don't watch the show.
If not by the end of episode one you're not crying, you don't have a soul.
You don't have a soul, pretty much. Carl Pilkington is amazing in it as well.
Well, Connor, what are we fucking previewing this
Peanuts!
Week?
Peanuts! The Peanuts movie! I'm fucking hyped. I love Peanuts. So much. I used to read all the Charlie Brown books. My dad, I think when he was in the army, he bought all of them when he was traveling. So we've got all the Charlie Brown like little books, and I used to read them growing up. And so I've never really watched the Peanuts show, but I definitely know all the characters and stuff. And the movie looks really cool. Like the animation doesn't look tacky. It doesn't look bullshit. Like it looks really kind of quite, creative, and I'm really pumped.
Yeah, it's actually funny because I wanted to ask you about this because I feel like, you know, when I was a kid, Peanuts was slowly dying out. Like it wasn't quite like it used to, like in that, you know, 80s and early 90s, I think it was like fucking massive. And like they had the TV show, and obviously the comics have always been around, and like it was a fairly big part of my childhood. Like there was like the show was on, you know, on, you know, Saturday morning cartoon sort of thing, so I'd watch it a lot on there. But I think I probably read the comics more, like yourself.
Yeah.
Because
so you read the comics.
Yeah. I've read, well, not all of them, but like, you know.
Most of them, a lot of them,
and they used to be in the paper all the time. But my biggest memories of there's two big memories of Snoopy in particular is McDonald's did like this like big thing at one point where they had all these different Snoopies from around the world, and they were like
I remember these little
action figures, and it was like this big thing. You had to collect them all. It was like, there was heaps of these fucking things, and they were actually like decent little figurines. I think you had to pay like extra on top of like.
I'm pretty sure they're worth quite a lot of money now. Those Snoopy figurines. I'm pretty sure people are like still searching for them. Those ones.
Well, I feel like a lot of like Peanuts collectibles are kind of collector's items. And then my other memory is going to Knott's Berry Farm in LA, which is a big fucking theme park, and it's like basically a Peanuts themed theme park.
Oh wow.
I don't know if it's exactly that, but like, you know, they obviously got the rights to have these. So the kids areas, because I went there when I was like 13, so a lot of like the novelty stuff was, you know, Snoopy and Charlie Brown and all that sort of stuff. And I bought a plush Joe Cool. you know, Snoopy's, one of Snoopy's alter egos, Joe Cool, where he's like got the sunglasses and shit.
Slick back hair, doesn't he? Slick back hair?
Probably. I don't know. I just remember glasses and a red shirt that says Joe Cool.
Yeah, no, he doesn't have hair. Yeah.
But I remember it just being like the coolest thing ever, like getting this fucking Joe Cool plush doll and, you know, traveling around America with it. It was a good time. So,
The Peanuts were a huge part of like my childhood. I just loved them. All my like encyclopedia, I used to like read a lot, and all of my encyclopedia stuff, it was all Charlie Brown's encyclopedia. So I had all these different, encyclopedias with all these facts, and it was all the Peanut Gang were in all of them.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, my dog's name is Marcy, named after Marcy from the Peanut Gang. It's awesome.
That's really, it's really interesting to me because, like, I've kind of felt like they've just disappeared in the last, you know, 10 years. And
the last decade, they definitely have, yeah.
And do you think that it's because your dad had all the comics that you were able to latch onto that?
All the stuff that I owned was quite old. Like, it's older stuff. Because they were around since, I think, the 40s or something.
Oh, yeah, they've been around for ages.
But yeah, it was all just like hand-me-down stuff. But most people know Snoopy. Like, people know who Snoopy is. I think this film is a bit of a sort of kind of jump back to like, can we restart this franchise? Like, let's try.
It's definitely a reboot, because I think you're right. Everybody kind of knows them, but did your friends like Peanuts when you were a kid?
There wasn't like a thing I knew anyone else liked. It was just myself.
Yeah. Because that's what I was like, even seeing this, like, definitely seeing the first trailer for this, I was like, oh, cool. Then I was like, well, shit, are Peanuts, like, are they done? Like, I don't know if this is a thing for these ages. But saying that, you know, bring it out around Christmas, which they are.
It's New Year's Day is its release. The Boxing Day releases this year are fucking horrid. I saw the release.
Oh, really? Do you know what they are? What are they?
It's Joy.
What was it?
Joy. Alvin and the Chipmunks 4. The Danish Girl. What was the other one? Oh, God. It was something ridiculous. Oh, fuck. I can't remember it. Damn it.
What is Joy?
Some Jennifer Lawrence bullshit drama pick. The Danish Girl. Alvin and the Chipmunks 4. And there was something else that was just silly when I heard about it. Oh, The Good Dinosaur. That was the only one that I was keen for. But
yeah, I was like, what are you talking about? Why is that silly?
Alvin and the Chipmunks 4, Joy, oh, fucking hell.
I have not seen any of the Alvin and the Chipmunks.
I've seen one. Do we have to review all these movies? Really? God fucking damn it.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of become a tradition. we'll ponder on that later, but... back to Peanuts. Yeah, well, I think bringing it around that time, it's gonna, it'll obviously do well, and it seems like it's starting to hype really well. Like the teaser trailers for it are fun, you know, especially for people like, you know, you and me who are familiar with the characters, and you just get like, you know, Snoopy sitting on his fucking doghouse, and Woodstock comes out and starts doing shit. It's like, it's everything that happened in the comics and that happened in the cartoon, like just the fun part with Snoopy. Yeah. But I don't know. There is a part of me that I'm like, I don't know if I'm all that keen for it. Like, I'm definitely not pumped. I'm not pumped like you are. No, and I don't pumped. Like, it's not for any particular reason. I just don't know if I'm like, I'm more excited to see The Good Dinosaur than to see Peanuts, because it's like, I've seen Peanuts and I know what Peanuts is, and unless they can bring something fucking fantastic to the table, which I don't doubt they have something, like I very much doubt they would reboot this shit if they didn't have something fun to do with it, you know what I mean? So
I'm sure it'll be good. I'm pretty excited. I just want to talk about it. I think I knew you had some sort of interest in the Peanuts. I reckon it'll be good. I reckon it'll be really good.
Yeah.
I hope they reboot it well.
Well, hopefully it's better than what Blinky Bill looks like.
What the fuck?
I actually laughed though yesterday when I went in to see Everest. It was quite busy. In the line to like buy the tickets, there was like this group of probably like 14-year-old kids, like boys, and they were all talking. They're all like, oh man, did you see the gallows? Like, oh, it was so scary, man. It's about this chick who does this, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, ha, oh, those young 14-year-olds, to be young again and be scared of movies. and then one kid, he was like, oh man, I don't want to see the gallows. And like, they weren't going to see that, but he was like, I don't ever want to watch that sort of thing. And I was like, yeah, that was me as a kid. I was scared shitless of movies when I was younger. But hey,
that's still me.
But then they were looking up at the board, and I think I can't remember what movie they were actually. I think they were going to see Maze Runner or something like that. And then one of the kids was like, "Oh man, but no, let's go see Blinky Bill. I really want to see Blinky Bill." And one of the other ones was like, "Yeah, I want to see Blinky Bill too." And I was like, "What the fuck? Like, who wants to see that piece of shit? God damn it! These 14-year-old kids." And I suppose at that age, it's just, it doesn't matter. They just, like, they don't really care about fucking the way it looks. It must just be, the character must speak to them in some way. They might have had some sort of childhood connection with it. I don't know, but it's fucking, it perplexed me.
I don't understand either, to be honest. I loved Blinky Bill growing up. I was obsessed. like, Blinky Bill was the best, and now he's fucked. And I don't want to talk about it anymore because it's fucking weird and people buy tickets to it. And I just don't understand.
Yeah.
Blinky Bill, man. Hey, hey, Blinky Bill.
All right, well, let's get on to our review of fucking Everest. Tell about that.
Let's fucking do it. Let's watch Not Blinky Bill.
That's it.
God damn.
Okay, well, Everest is based on the Mount Everest 1996 exposition disaster. True fucking story about, was it Rob... what was the guy's name? Rob something
about Rob and his crew pretty much getting fucked up.
Yeah. They try to take on fucking the biggest mountain in the world and it fucking bites back. Basically, they take... they keep finding there's big storms coming up and they keep finding out, like figuring out that they probably should turn back, but they don't. And they're like... It's all about business because he runs this what is it called, like
adventure camp or something,
adventure consultants,
yeah, something like that.
They haven't got anybody to the peak in the last few years and they just can't afford to have that, you know, sort of on their rep, so they kind of push to get their group of people up to the top when they probably shouldn't, and people start dying and spoiler, the main guy dies.
Yeah. It's fucking strange.
Fucking felt really weird, but I suppose, you know, it was based on a true story, and we'll get into that. But our main guy was played by Jason Clarke, who we have been talking about quite a bit lately, actually. He's been showing up in fucking everything. Rob Hall was his character's name. And yeah, Jason Clarke. How did you feel about Jason Clarke in this round?
I thought he was pretty decent. His accent wasn't shocking. Like, I didn't hate it. And I didn't really hate him. I don't really like his face, but I didn't really hate him. Like, he wasn't unenjoyable. So
yeah, I think he really fit this role. Mm. Like, he definitely fit this a lot more than fucking John Connor. But let's not go back to that. His character. You could tell he knew his shit, and he was really compassionate towards his clients. Like, he saves that, he gets that one guy, Doug, he, like, the mailman, you know,
the guy, he dies.
His client, well, it ends up being fucked up, but he spotted him, he gave him a discount, because this guy's come every 3 years to try and climb Everest, and he's never got to the top, and, you know, in the end, that's his demise, but... Generally, he's a pretty good dude, this Rob Hall, and he because I've been on a lot of snow holidays and gone snowboarding and had sort of little venture hikes like this. I've never done anything that crazy, but fucking, you know, he reminded me of like just about every middle-aged instructor that I've had doing that sort of stuff. Like, just especially like the New Zealander touch. It's nice, like, you get a lot of New Zealanders coming over to like Australian snowfields and doing that because they're fucking awesome at snow. And I don't know, it was just I was able to relate to that, and I felt connected in a way that I haven't in a lot of Jason Clarke's performances. And I think it's just the fact that he was able to play a role that's a lot closer to home, because he's Australian.
Is he? Fuck, I forgot that.
Yeah, no, he's an Aussie. And actually, I didn't realize that he was playing a New Zealander until I read up on it.
Yeah.
I thought they were all Australian, but they were New Zealand expedition group. New Zealand. But then he had Keira Knightley as wife. Why is she in this movie? What the fuck?
I liked her part. I think her character was pretty important. Like, especially when you find out Rob's gonna die. Like, it's quite a heartbreaking sort of scene.
Oh, I'm not saying anything about
that. Yeah, why the fuck is Keira Knightley in it?
Like,
yeah, what the fuck? Her accent's so shocking. Like,
was it though? Because like when I was listening to it, I was like, man, she sounds more New Zealand than Australian, because, you know, I thought they were Australian at the time. But because it was Keira Knightley, I don't know if it was just because it was her that I was like, sort of like, why is she putting on this accent? Supposed to be New Zealander. But Why not just fucking hire a New Zealander?
Yeah, that kind of pissed me off in this film as well while I was watching it. I was
it's
like,
not like she's not like a fucking draw card name. You know, she's not, and she's not the main role. Like I could have, you know, I would have been pissed about it, but I would have been more happy with like an American playing Rob Hall.
It's kind of insulting, to be honest. Like, you're making a film about New Zealanders and you think that like a New Zealander can't actually just play the part.
That's it, man. And it's kind of, it's just stupid. Like, it's like I said, it's she's not really rude. Bringing much to the table. Like, she did the role well. Like, I felt for her the whole way.
Yeah.
But it's just like there's a hundred other actresses that could have done that role and, you know, been actually New Zealand or Australian. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I just didn't understand. And her accent wasn't very fucking good either. It was just bad. It was not enjoyable. I'm not going to lie.
And then we had Josh Brolin. We talked about him a little bit before. He was kind of the arrogant American.
Yeah, somewhat arrogant, somewhat has marital problems, I guess.
This is a big problem I have a lot with a lot of these characters is like they sort of set up certain stereotypes.
Yeah.
But in the end, everybody's a good fucking person. Everybody's like, you know, everybody's cool.
Everybody's human. Yeah.
Everybody looks after each other. No, it's not that everybody's human. I actually don't like it. I think it's like, I think they needed to push harder to give somebody a bad person in this movie. Like there's no villain. The mountain is the villain. The mountain, yeah. And which is pointed out in a fucking dumbass line by that Russian dude.
We're all against the mountain.
Yeah. There's no competition. The only competition is the mountain. I was like, oh. Usually I like stupid lines like that, but that was even fucking groan worthy for me. But yeah, with Josh Brolin, I did really like his character in the end. Which I'm not saying that they need to maybe push him harder, but like make him out to be more of a dick. Don't go sort of halfway and then come back. Like,
yeah.
I'm all for redemption of characters, which he gets, because, you know, he is just a bit of a piece of shit to start with. He's real arrogant and he thinks he's the best and he's clearly like not fit to climb this fucking mountain. I don't know. They just don't go anywhere with it. And the same is with Jakey G. He's supposed to be the competition and
yeah,
they sort of
there. He doesn't really have yeah.
They don't do anything with him. Like, he's easily the best actor in this fucking roster. And he's fun to watch and he's always like woo, and you feel for him because he starts getting sick and stuff, but like I really needed somebody to just want to hate.
Yeah.
I needed like don't get me wrong, all the mountain stuff was cool and tense and we'll talk about that in a bit, but I need a bad guy. I need somebody that's making things like it's hard enough going up this fucking mountain as it is. Let's throw some other shit into the mix, which I'm sure happened. It's cuz they kind of allude to it. Like, you know, with the South Africans taking forever to fucking, you know, cross that ladder, and when they try to you know, make it so the scheduled times to, you know, to go up the mountain, all the other exposition teams get pissed off and they're like, no, fuck that, we're not doing it on a schedule, and it's all like, which really goes nowhere.
Yeah, I don't know, I agree with you to an extent, but I think this movie kind of, actually, I agree with you completely. There is no antagonist in this film at all. It's kind of hard to hate. In fact, they kind of try and make random characters for about 5 minutes dislikable. And then they go straight back to being nice guys. You know that bald dude with the beard? You know what I'm
Which
talking
one?
About? The bald dude with the beard. And he's like, sorry, man, I can't help you. I'm like, I'm frozen. And he like falls back to sleep. Says he can't see.
The guy who was the fucking journalist.
Yeah. He's just kind of like, I don't want to die here. And so he's kind of hated for a little bit. Like, I was kind of like, are they trying to make him out to be a bit of a douchebag? But like, everyone's kind of just fine in this movie. Everyone's kind of nice. The other problem I had with that is a lot of these characters, like a lot of these characters get all this development and backstory and like time spent on them only for their deaths or kind of their importance in the whole grand scheme of things to be super minor and just super irrelevant. You don't know anything about them when they finish. They just kind of like, people are just like, oh, look at me. Oh, here's my story. Oh, here's the focus on me. And I'm done. Or, and I'm dead. Or I'm gone. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
There was no real, when people died, I'm like, who the fuck was that? There's only one person that died, two people that died in this film that I was like, oh, that sucks. Bummer.
I actually had a hard time sort of identifying a lot of people late in the film. But talking about the journalist, I was going to go to this because I feel that he was going to be the bad guy, because they build him up like that, you know, he could basically make or break this expedition, you know, consultants. They may as well have just not even had him there, because he asked one fucking question and it's like, why would you do it?
Yeah,
which is like a trailer moment, you know, yeah. Like there's no reason for that character to be there. They even make a big deal about it, like, you know, that Jason Clarke stole Jake Gyllenhaal's journalist,
yeah.
And then Jake Gyllenhaal has like this TV journalist there now, and where does she go? Like, that's a whole other aspect that could have just made this even, you know, they could have pushed the fact that, yeah, you could have like, you know, Jason Clarke be like, oh fuck, I don't think we're going to get to the top of the mountain. It's too dangerous. And you see the journo, you know, pull out his pad and paper and start writing some shit down. Like, and Jason Clarke starts to think, fuck, that's, you know, he's probably going to bag out on us because we didn't get anybody to the peak again.
Yeah, just some sort of build of tension. Like,
and that could have been it could have been the reason why it pushes them to get to the top. And like, he's just there. He's just another hiker. He doesn't do anything. Like, it's actually really frustrating. Because he, you know, that actor, Michael Kelly, he can play like a dick so well. He was a dick in Dawn of the Dead. He was like a dick security guard in that. And I was like, here we go. We're going to have some fun with this guy. And we never do.
And he's like, no, yeah. It's just odd. It's so odd. Jake Gyllenhaal, I think, to be honest, was probably the most entertaining person in this film to watch. Just because his character was such a wild card in comparison, just to what he does. But even then... Like, from the start, as soon as he's like, no, I'll just go back and forth. And Rob's like, you sure? That's a lot of climbing for one person. I'm like, well, you're dead. Like...
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's what I mean. Like, and they don't really do anything with him. Like, they set him up as kind of... Yeah, exactly. This wild card that could either be a good thing for Jason Clarke or a bad thing for Jason Clarke. And he's kind of neither in the end. Like, was it his job to put the oxygen up the top?
I think so. I know it was someone. Someone's like, yeah, put extra tanks up.
I know he was doing it at some point, but I don't know if he was doing it where they needed it at the end when there's only, like, you know, empty bottles of O up the top.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. Someone had used them or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I found a lot of things towards the end of the film, especially, like I was saying before, did you find it really hard to identify people once that storm hit?
Yes, of course I fucking did. They're all geared up and shit, and no one really
got... who was who.
It was Josh Brolin's character, Doug, Rob, and Jake Gyllenhaal. They were the four people in this film that were easily identifiable. Everybody else had this weird sort of amount of character development that I was like, why the fuck do I need to know this? And where are you on the mountain? Like, what? I don't even know.
Like, the only part of the mountains that I could sort of identify with were the peak. And there was, like, the part before... You know, the part they get to when there's no... The ropes were broken? Where they're kind of on that ledge? The ledge where Doug ends up falling off? Like, I could identify that part. Which, you know, I don't really mind. Like, it felt like it was just, like, a maze of fucking wilderness around them. So I kind of dug that to a certain extent. Yeah. What about fucking Sam Worthington? What the fuck?
Yeah, what he's was just that watching. Character? He's watching from a mountain, and then he comes to base camp, and he's like, "I'll help."
I thought he was going to be such a fucking, like, effective character.
I didn't understand. Like, where the fuck did he come in? Why do we need him?
He's exactly. So odd. And he did come out of nowhere, right? It was just like all of a sudden Jason Clarke...
RKO out of nowhere, man. That's what he did.
Yeah, good. Because I felt like I missed something. Like, I felt like he was there at the start or at base camp or something. He wasn't even at the first base camp, was he? Like,
no.
Fucking Jason Clarke calls him and gives him shit about being on the kiddie slope or something like that.
Something like that. Something ridiculous.
Who is he? Is he just like another...
I think he's his mate or something.
leader? I don't know. Yeah, like...
Just his pal.
And then all of a sudden, he's like this lifeline for him.
Like, yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
What the fuck is going on?
Oh, he like, you know, he knows Jason Clarke's wife and he's, you know, gets in on the, yeah, in the base camp and just gets on the fucking, the radio, which, you know, I felt that the chick was, what's her name, in at base camp was doing just fine.
You're fine. Just fucking shut up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's- and I thought he was going up the mountain to save Jason Clarke. Like, that's what I thought was happening. And then he ends up at base camp.
It's just such a... The biggest issue this film has, aside from this ridiculously weird pacing, is its, like, inability to kind of solidify certain characters and show their importance. Like, this film tries to do so much and show so much because these people die and they want to pay their respects and blah, 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 blah. But in reality, what we get is this sort of weird crossroads between having like characters with not enough development, but also at the same time, this weird amount of like, we have this weird amount of background like
overdevelopment.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm really glad I know what this character ate this morning. Like, why the fuck? Like, why the fuck do I give a shit about any of this stuff? You know? And the other thing is, and the thing I want to bring up now is its pacing. This film is, the three quarters of this film is them just climbing the mountain. Nothing happens, you know? And then in 45 minutes...
And it was really long. It was like over... It was nearly...
It's 2 hours.
It was over 2 hours, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then in 45 minutes, everything just goes to shit, you know? Mm. And when everything goes to shit, it's really kind of full on. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty real. I like it. I like how it's just kind of happened and... Like when Doug dies, it's just this wide and Doug just falls out of frame. Like he just falls off the cliff. I thought that was great.
Mm.
And the same with his mate, when his mate's like, oh, I'm too cold. And his mate falls off.
Too cold.
You remember, it's too hot, sorry. And he
too
takes
hot,
his,
yeah. The other New Zealand
like,
guy.
I was like, fuck, that sucks. Because he came all the way back up to save him.
I hear what you're saying about the pacing. But I feel like I didn't really have a...
Big problem with it?
Problem with it to start with.
Yeah.
Because I was like, they're building us up for something here. And you know, when shit goes down on the mountain, it gets fucking interesting. We'll talk about that because I am giving some shit to this movie, but I will give it some props later about that. But it's to build up all this stuff, like just giving us useless information about characters that are just gonna just disappear or not be anything or, you know, not have any sort of impact to anything. And like, I get it, again, it's based off a fucking true story, so you have to have all the people in there, but it's still a narrative and we still need to do something with each of these characters. Like, it's not, it's, it doesn't have to be a fucking play-by-play of the original, you know, goings-ons. It has to be a story that will entertain. You know, it's made for entertainment. We need it to be a fucking full story. And we need these characters to get their full arcs. But when you're talking about, you know, like characters dying and you're starting, you know, we're getting towards the end of the thing. Like, I felt like they just didn't make big deals out of a lot of stuff that I felt really should have. Like, the first thing, when they got to the top of the mountain, there was no sort of build to, you know, to sort of allude... to that they were reaching the peak.
They get there and that's it. They're there.
Yeah.
That's
and
the
I
whole
was,
thing.
Like when he got like, cause it was first that Russian guy who got up there and he gets up and does the Rocky thing. And I was all like, oh, they're at the top.
You know? Yeah, like, that's it. There was no like kind of beautiful music. There was
no
fucking,
crescendo.
Like, and I mean like that aspect of it was a little silly because it was such a, this is why people are dying. It's just so they can get to the top of this bullshit.
Exactly.
Mountain.
It should be a fucking huge deal that they got there. I think they made a bigger deal about Doug getting to the top, which I thought was cool. Like he had that little flag that the kids had given him and he put it up the top. Like, yeah, that was it. But like just to have this first run of people get there and it just be like, oh yeah, just another day in the office climbing Mount Everest.
It, like even then, like the fact that he gets to the top, oh, no, maybe I'm just thinking about the story. It's just so sad. He gets to the top, and then he's like, yeah, and then he just dies, like, straight away.
Yeah.
God
yeah.
damn.
It's rough. Like, that's where it... Like, Dougie's death was good in terms of, like we actually cared about that character. He's probably the most developed character of them all because we really feel for him. Like, he's the guy we're rooting for to get there, and fucking Rob... you know, Rob Hall or Jason Clark's character has to push. He has to push the rules. He has to break the rules to get this guy there. And we like him for helping this guy. And then, fuck, he just dies. And it's like, man, like, feels sad, sad.
It's quite sad. Can we move? But these are real people.
Yeah, but the other part that I felt, the biggest part that I felt was not made a big deal and it really, really should have.
Josh Brolin?
It was kind of confusing with him, but like, we'll talk about that. But Jason Clark's death, I didn't even realize he was dead until they said it. Like, you know, he kind of closes his eyes, but when he's talking to his wife, they really didn't make a big deal out of that. Like, yeah, that conversation... And him getting the moral support of everybody down on the thing, even though they couldn't get to him, like, that was all done really well. And then it's just like, oh, and he's dead.
You're totally right. I agree completely. I think I didn't realize until it came up, like, when it was like, oh, Jason Clark died on the mountain. I was like, fuck.
Was it when they, like, the other people got back to the airport and they're hugging the wife? And I'm like, oh, so they just left him? Like, oh, he's dead. Okay.
See you, Jason.
Yeah.
What? It was, that was really silly. I didn't understand where that came from. His death was so just out of the blue. But I don't know. I had a big issue because all the pacing kind of builds it up and it just kind of like fizzles out for a lot of these characters. Yeah. And it's really disappointing because there was, oh my God, this is John, I can't believe this is John Connor. He looks completely different in this movie than he does in that because he doesn't have a piece of shit in this. I don't know, it just kind of builds and these characters fizzle out and it's really disappointing. The only one that I thought, the other thing was like Josh Brolin, I felt as if he should have been like that journey of him like defying death, that should have been a huge aspect of it, I feel. Mm. Like that should have been like a huge journey of him walking to the next camp because he walked pretty far, didn't he?
Yeah, what? He just turns up. How did he get there?
It's really weird. I wanted to see him struggle to get there. You know, I want to see him like.
Yeah.
And instead, we're left with no. Then again, on some more positive notes.
Well, just quickly with Josh Brolin, like I found it that he was I was kind of confused at to what was happening with him to start with. I was like, oh, he's not dead because he's laying there next to the Japanese chick who's done the seven summits. Which, fuck, that was cool. Like, that's really cool that.
Yeah.
Chick did that. Like they kind of linger on him just enough to make you feel like, oh, he's not dead. But then they show another shot later where it's just their bodies and you're like, oh, well, fuck, maybe he is dead. And then we come back and he wakes up and he's not dead. And I'm like, ah, what is going on? Like, and I know that's probably the point, but it's like they had these ideas and
they're not really fleshed out.
Yeah, I don't feel like they did it. They did it wrong. Like, it's just, he gets up and that's awesome. You're kind of like, fuck. And you're looking at his fucked up hands. He's got frostbite all over him. And you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then cut, he's at the fucking camp. Yeah,
like, where the
camp.
Fuck is the journey? Where is him almost dying, getting there? Like, clearly this movie could get away with it. Oh, and Jake Gyllenhaal's death. What the fuck? Like... I was really disappointed with that. He just sits down. He's like, all right, see ya.
I'm done.
I respect it. Like, I can respect, because that would have been a real thing. That's probably exactly how that character would have died, you know, in real life, was he would probably just say, he's like, you know what, I'm done. But the way it's done in the film, it's just such a, like, nonchalant thing. Like, where is the emphasis on these characters that we've been caring about? Where is him sitting down, you know, kind of like quite upset, like, you know, where is that? It's just, I'm done, cut back, he's dead, you know?
Like, we needed a shot of him sitting there looking at the view and being like, you know, you know what, if I'm going to die, this is okay. I'm dying what I'm doing what I love and that's how I'm dying, sort of thing. But it's, I feel like the only character who gets any sort of build up to his death is Doug. he's, you know, he's fucked when they get to the top of the mountain. And when they're coming down, he's got no oxygen. And they make a big deal out of that, that they need to get oxygen to him. Jason Clark can't, you know, pull him along. And then when he just, like, sort of collapses, when he takes, like, the thing off that rope, it's like, oh no.
Yeah,
you know, you see him and he just goes and it's big. Every other character, like, yeah, we knew Jake Gyllenhaal was sick, but everybody's kind of sick. Everybody's hurt and everybody's doing, and they don't really push what symptoms are bigger than others. You know what I mean? It's like, I feel like I didn't realize that Jake Gyllenhaal was on his deathbed. Like, I knew he was fucking hurting.
Yeah, me, that's what I meant. Like, you don't fucking, you can't, it does not, it's not emphasized enough. It's really disappointing.
Like, the snowblindness or whatever happens to Josh Brolin, like, yeah, that's pretty, that was pretty significant. But other than that, like, everybody else just seems to, like, it's like, all of a sudden, now I'm on deathbed. Even Jason Clark, like, I feel like, you know, he did spend the night over, overnight in this fucking mountain, so I get it, but, like, it's still just, like, all of a sudden, he's really fucked up.
Yeah, it's...
It's just, yeah, and that, and I think that comes down to the pacing problems that you're talking about, is, like, they take so much time at the start, and then towards the end, they just don't have the time left to be able to put the emphasis on the things that really are needed.
Pretty much. I mean, like, I don't know. Yeah, it just fizzles. That's the whole,
like,
problem.
I didn't realize that the Japanese chick was sick. I didn't realize she was going to die. Like, that's she just laid down and died.
See you later.
Which was actually quite a haunting image, seeing her body. Yeah. And why were people taking their fucking gloves off? That's what I want to know. Like, why did Josh Brolin have his gloves off that he could get frostbite all over his hands?
I have no idea.
The Asian girl had one glove off as well. You don't take your gloves off. Like, that's silly.
It was interesting to see these characters, though, like, and why they were put in these situations that got them killed. Like, Josh Brolin would have been totally fine. He was ready to go back. At the start, and he wasn't fighting it. He's just like, all right, I can't see.
It though? Like, I wasn't sure. I was actually kind of confused at that.
He was like, oh, all right, I can't see. And he's like, but I still want to go up. And Rob's like, look, give it half an hour. If you can't see, I'll come back. We'll get you and you're going to have to go down. He's like, worries.
I thought Rob told him to go down with the people who were coming back, that first round of people who come back. And then I thought Josh Brolin was being like, nah, I'm waiting for Jason Clark because I'm going to make it to the top of this.
No, the first round, it was like miscommunication. So I'm pretty sure Rob goes up, he hears people come back. He's like, oh, is that you, Rob? It's like, no, Rob's still up there. He's right behind me because just before them, Rob was like going to go up, and then Dougie interrupts him. So he's like, no, all right. And so then Rob is waiting. He's like, okay, Rob won't be too far. So he stays up there even further. And then he's like, someone else comes down. He's like, Rob, is that you? And he's like, nah, Rob's like half an hour away. Like, you've got ages. And so he goes down with them. So he waits an extra time because of miscommunication and shit, which is all pretty crazy.
Yeah, okay. I guess, but I thought that he was being like the stubborn Texan that he was. I thought he was just being like, at least to start with, because he's like, nah, man, I'm making it to the top of this thing. And I thought that was going to be a thing. Like, but then he ends up just sitting there and waiting. I thought he was going to try and do it by himself. I was just confused at what the fuck was going on there. Cause I thought the motivation was he was just, you know, he's being stubborn.
I think we had miscommunication with the film. So,
yeah,
to be honest,
yeah, probably. All right. Well, I'm done ragging because I want to talk about some of the better points in this film, and it is definitely tackling that mountain, like the way that a lot of stuff happens. Like, there's that one point where somebody like slips and falls down and takes out, like, domino effect, takes out a bunch of people, and they're just sliding. And I was like, to me, that's terrifying.
I laughed so much.
You laughed?
I laughed way too much at that point. Like, I was laughing quite a lot.
Well, having spent a lot of time in the snow and knowing that once you get some fucking momentum, like, you're not going to stop. Like, that, I was waiting for somebody to hit a rock. I was waiting for some, you know, like, just getting taken out by somebody is, like, the worst thing ever. especially when you know that person can't do anything about it. You see somebody coming down the hill straight at you and you're just like, fuck. You know? Like,
yeah.
It could, you know, in another movie, it could have been comedic, but like in this, like it really, a lot of that sort of stuff really hit notes with me. And like, I do have a certain fear of heights, and these people, you know, crossing over these massive craters.
Yeah, there are some, like, that's what I was going to say. Visually, this film is just spectacular. Like, this whole time I've been looking at, I've been looking at photos of Mount Everest and stuff and looking at that sort of thing, and holy shit, they got it right, didn't they? Like, it looks almost, like, the summit looks almost identical in the movie, and like visually this film is just amazing, and the sound design is great too. Like,
yeah,
there's just that one cut between that really intense like the wind's just blowing and then it just cuts to Keira Knightley's character.
Yeah,
and it's gone, and you don't notice it's gone. Like, you don't notice that it was there until it's gone.
Until it's gone, and it's really jarring. It's like really, yeah, like you just realize, because it does, like I know from, you know, being out on a mountain when you're in a fucking a storm of sorts. Like, obviously, yeah, I haven't been anything that crazy, but like, it just becomes this drone in your in your head, and it's just really unnerving. And in this movie, it was really unnerving the whole time. Anytime that storm was coming and there was wind fucking just slapping these guys around, it was just, it just felt uneasy the whole time. And I definitely was, you know, tense. I felt, I was like edge of my seat. I'm like, fuck. And like, anytime something would go wrong, like anytime one of them would take a harness off the rope, I'm like, oh, what's going to happen?
Yeah, don't do it, please. Like,
fuck, you know, get back on that fucking rope. And you know, when those guys were fixing the ropes on that little ledge where Doug dies later on, I was like, oh, be careful, guys, you know.
Hey guys, relax. Hope you're doing well, from David. It visually, this film is just intense. I just thought it was great. I was watching it, I'm like, man, I need to see this in IMAX, because this looks fucking awesome. Like, it just felt so real, and I felt like I was there a lot of the time. I felt like I was with these characters, and I think they really nailed that aspect of it. And everything felt quite realistic and quite real, and they weren't like sugarcoating anything. It just felt, you know, that the ladder. I'm looking, you know, that ladder scene where Josh Brolin almost dies on the ladder. I'm looking at it. That exists. Like, I'm looking at a photo of pretty much the exact same ladder. Looks the exact same.
Damn, I just couldn't do that, eh? That's fucked.
I honest to God, Vish, I still want to climb Mount Everest. I really do. Not now, but like at some point in my life, it's something I want to do after the Dakota Trail.
I don't know. That to me is just like, okay, I'll get to the top of the mountain and climb over these fucking badass things. Like, I'm sure there'd be many a safety precaution now, but it's just like, that's nothing I have an interest in doing. I'll climb another mountain, but probably not that one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I do have, like I said, in certain situations, like, heights can get to me, and that's definitely one of it. Crossing a ladder like that, nah, fuck that.
I just want to do it. I feel like that's something to do. Do you know how fucked up in reality Mount Everest is? Like,
yeah, it's fucked. It's one of the most dangerous places in the world. Like,
no, I mean, it's full of litter. Like, it's just covered in litter. So much so that they have to do cleanup expeditions. Like, the biggest problem in Mount Everest, apparently, is its litter.
Wow.
I didn't
realize that, like, and I suppose it makes sense, but, like, you know, I didn't realize that so many people would be climbing it at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so many expeditions are going all the time, and I'm sure, like, and those base camps, like, you know, whenever I heard about somebody saying, yeah, like, we got to, you know, the second base camp or the third base camp, I always just assumed it was like a very small group of people, because I just assumed that it wasn't like something that just general public could do. But I suppose if you got the money and you got the climbing skill, you can do it.
I don't know. Right now, like, apparently Mount Everest is chockers. Like, every time my friend Clint from work, he went to base camp Mount Everest, and he said it was fucking ridiculous. Like, he said the amount of people there is insane. And I was like, shit, I can believe that. I can totally believe that.
Well, after seeing this and you talking about the litter problems, like, yeah, definitely. I'd go to base camp. I'd probably even go to the second base camp, but I don't know if I'd want to go to the peak.
That's the peak. Well, apparently...
Because just seeing Josh Brolin cross that fucking ladder was enough to be like, fuck.
Apparently, it's just super overcrowded now as well. Like, you're not climbing. You're just in a queue. It's pretty much you're just in a huge 200-long person queue. You just walk up.
Fuck that. Yeah,
no. You know, like, that sounds fucking terrible. That sounds awful.
It's like, you know, think about waiting in line at Movie World for, you know, the fucking Batman ride or something. And, you know, on a busy day and you're there for like 2 hours. But think about that with like blinding fucking snow and blizzards, the wind just whipping you. No, thanks.
Nine day queue to get to the top to stay there for 5 seconds.
Shit. Fuck that. And you know, and I suppose it does, but like I'd never like really thought about the fact that it took so long to climb it. Like, I always just assumed it was like maybe, you know, 2 days, a few days, but it took them like weeks to get up, didn't it?
No. It took them a few days. It takes you 9 days to get there, so it would have taken them the same amount of time.
Yeah.
They didn't get there earlier. They got there the same amount, and then they the last 2 days where everything went chaotic.
Because they're sort of, you know, they have like 5 weeks of prep to get up there as well. Like, that team's like together for a long time. There's that part where the storm first comes. Like, how fucking cool is it when Jason Clarke is coming down the mountain and he's above the storm clouds? Like,
yeah, that was intense.
Wow. And then it fucking just comes up at him. Like, as, you know, he's standing on that rope. I think he's letting like abseiling Doug down. And the storm just fucking hits him, and it's this great crane shot that just pulls above him as the big dark cloud comes through, and you just feel all the fucking snow and rain and shit just starts smashing him. Wow, that was such a cool shot.
That was that was when I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
And that's where you get the gravity of just how dangerous it is up there. Like, you're already in this bad spot because human bodies aren't made to function. above that altitude.
Well, it's called the dead zone. Like, he's right. Like, it just kills you when you get up there. There's no oxygen. That, like, not enough oxygen for you to live, pretty much, which is insane.
Yeah, fucking hell. It's just, I was just definitely in that last 45 minutes, I was on the edge for a long time. And it's disappointing that they don't make a bigger deal out of some of the deaths, because I am so tense. And then when things just sort of, like, oh, it fizzles, it makes it even, it hurts even more, because I'm like, man, they're doing so much right here. It's disappointing.
I'm thinking about this movie. I'm just looking at photos of Mount Everest and all the dead bodies and shit. I'm fucking myself up. I don't know why I'm doing this. It's so fucked. This whole, it's just so fucked. Maybe I don't want to do it anymore. It's all
I said, I'd try maybe some of the smaller mountains first.
I want to do Kokoda Trail. I think Kokoda Trail would be my go-to.
Yeah, a lot of my friends have done that.
Have they?
I wouldn't mind giving that a crack. Yeah.
Apparently it's pretty full-on as well.
Oh, it's fucked. It pushes you.
I know people die on it a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize
people
that.
People die all the time.
But
on the Kokoda Trail.
Yeah, I had actually one of my mates did it, and then his sister did it.
I want
to
do it.
I think you just got to be fit enough to do it.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's fucking wrap this shit up. What are your final thoughts on Everest?
Hang on, I've got to sneeze. I don't have to sneeze. I've just, like, it's sitting on the edge of my nose.
That's your final thoughts, is it's just a sneeze?
5 out of 5, had to sneeze. I thought this movie did a lot of good things. I thought that I felt like I was on Mount Everest. I felt the kind of fear that they would have been feeling. I really felt for these characters because they put me in a situation where I felt as if I was on the fucking mountain. Visually, it was stunning, but plot-wise, it was just too long, and nothing happens for too long before everything just happens in about a time frame of about 45 minutes, and it's just so weak in comparison. Like, I really wished more happened, you know, earlier, because once things do start to happen, that's sort of like, this is how it is. If people just die, that's Mount Everest. Doesn't really work when you've got a 2-hour movie, you know? Like, it's not... that sort of message I think they're trying to get across doesn't really work because we've been sitting around waiting for some crazy shit to happen. And the shit that happens really isn't that crazy. I wish there was more emphasis on Jake Gyllenhaal's character, Josh Brolin's, Doug, and Jason Clarke, because they were the main guys and they're really not emphasized enough aside from Jason Clarke and Doug for their kind of outcomes to be satisfying. Jake Gyllenhaal falling over was just disappointing, and Josh Brolin just waking up and suddenly being at the camp was also just really, really lame. But overall, I did enjoy it. 3 out of 5.
Yeah, with Josh Brolin's character, I think that his overall journey is pretty satisfying. It's just that little bit where it's just like left to convenience, you know, or coincidence that he was able to make it back to the, you know, to the camp. Like you said, we need to see that. Like, and I kind of get the idea what they're trying to do. It's like, how the fuck did he make it back to this camp? But they don't even really play on that. Like, the characters aren't like, oh my god, there's just no way.
They're like, well, he's here, yeah.
So instead of having him lay in the snow for so fucking long, let's just have him, you know, actually walk over a few rocks just to give me a sense of how he got there. But in the end, with, you know, getting the chopper up there to get him out, and, you know, his wife, who he seems to be having some sort of problems with, they don't go fully into it, but, like, they give us enough to know that they're probably on the rocks, and it's probably because he keeps fucking off to go climb mountains. But it's cool to see that she went all out because there was a slither of hope that they could save him. And they got a fucking chopper up there. They had to take all the weight out, and that was cool. Man, when that chopper was, like...
Yeah, that was a good moment.
Oh, going through all the fucking rocks and mountain and stuff. Wow. Like, even I was like, whoa, that's pretty fucking cool.
That was a sick moment right there, yeah.
But other than, yeah, otherwise, a lot of the characters are just very fucking, they end up being just generic. And this movie ended up feeling like a TV movie to me. Like, the way it's written and the way these characters are sort of portrayed and it's directed, it's all very peachy. It's very happy. Everyone's like, everyone's such a good person. Like, the real enemy here is the mountain, which we all chose to fucking climb. I'm not satisfied with that. That's not good enough. Like, this is a fucking Hollywood film. I don't know if it was shot in, like, Italy or something like that, but, like, it, you know, it's got huge names. They've clearly got money. Let's fucking develop this script. Like, let's not make it a TV movie fucking standard. Let's fucking go out. Like, how the fuck do you get Jake Gyllenhaal and Josh Brolin with a script like this?
I know. It was really confusing to me too. That's all I could think while I was looking at Jake Gyllenhaal was, how the fuck are you in this? Like, this is not a movie you should be in. Not that
you
it's
know what
bad.
I felt like
this
was? I felt
great.
Like it. He. I don't know which one they did first. And I'm assuming that Southpaw was shot before this. And I assume that, you know, he did his full body transformation for Southpaw.
Yeah.
And then he was like, given, you know, pitched this one, he was like, well, if I can sort of just chill in the sun, like he does in the movie, I just imagined him just sitting back and just kicking back, being like, yeah, you know, I did Southpaw, that was fucking tough, now I'm just gonna sort of chill.
I'm just
gonna chill
in the sun.
Even my death scene's just gonna be me laying down. I don't want to do anything.
We'll give you $20 million. And he's like, fuck, all right. I guess there we go.
But saying that, he was still like, because I really like Jake Gyllenhaal, so I still liked his character. But, like, that's what it felt like to me. It was like, this is just his chill role.
Yeah.
And it's weird because, like you said, there's so much good here. Where on the mountain, I was fucking in it. I was there. I was even just them climbing up the mountain, and, you know, if they'd slightly slip here, or we get that POV shot of Josh Brolin's like spikes on the ladder, like, it just really, they did a really good job of putting you there on the mountain with these people, like you said. Did you see it in 3D?
Yeah, I did.
I thought they probably could have done a lot more with the 3D, like, because they did such a good job of putting us in there. Like, I think maybe if they had snowflakes coming out of, I don't know, like, I didn't really feel like the 3D was there for any reason at all.
It wasn't really a big part of the film at all.
Yeah. So yeah, like it ends up becoming just a fairly generic film to me because of, like a midday movie-esque fucking script and directing style. Which is really disappointing because there's a lot of good going on. But I'd probably give it a 2.5. It's 2.5. Pretty average on
my
scale.
I'm getting real fucking sick of giving these scores, hey.
These middle-range scores.
I'm actually losing my mind. Like, I just want to either hate a film or love a film. That's pretty much it. God damn.
Well, fucking maybe we'll get one next week. We have sort of discussed this off the podcast. The Visit comes out next week. We spoke about that a few weeks ago. You told me how fucking terrified of it you are. But you have begged me to leave it up to the listeners.
Begged is a strong word. But
no, it was beg. You were like, oh, don't want to watch it. Can we leave it up to a vote?
Yes, fucking leave it to them, please. For the love of God, I don't want to watch this fucking terrifying movie. Jesus Christ.
It's actually getting some fairly decent reviews from what I've seen.
Even better. It's not even a shit horror. Awesome.
And I watched a little making of with M. Night Shyamalan on it, and it's actually made me even more excited to see it. So I'll definitely be seeing it. But will Connor be seeing it? The other film that comes out next week is Pan.
Who doesn't want to watch Pan? It looks like an afternoon delight. I think it'd be great.
This Pan's a weird one too. It's kind of just come out of nowhere, very much like Everest. Like, I know we spoke about it a long time ago when a trailer first got released, and we were talking about how Hugh Jackman, because is he Hook? No, he's not Hook. No, God, he's
like
sort of the
Blackbeard
origination of Hook. He's like the guy before Hook, isn't
he?
Yeah. He's a pirate though. But like, I haven't really seen a trailer since then, and it like. It's just like, oh, here it is, it's released. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and when it's released, we're going to watch it instead of The Visit, because the voters are good knowing what they know what to do. You know what to do, guys.
Exactly. Fuck Connor over. Let's
no!
see The Visit. But we'll put that one up on the Facebook, so you can get on there and put your vote in, Pan or The Visit, for next week's review. Get on there, check out our other reviews of all the movies. We've done 54 fucking movie reviews now, so there's got to be something that you've seen there. And, you know, if you want to get in on the conversation, by all means, we'd love to have you here.
Yay! And as always, guys, you can play it. Do you want to say it this time?
I want to tell me to play the music?
Yeah.
Fuck it. I'll do it. Play the music, fish! Thank you for listening to this episode of Fish and Connoisseur Movie. Fish and Connoisseur Movie does not own any rights to the film Everest, its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track, This Is How We Do It, is performed by Montel Jordan.